Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports, brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
Welcome in to the Inside Carolina podcast. This is the Scoop podcast, UNC's premier football recruiting podcast. It's a very, very special edition. We are joined by Don Callahan of Inside Carolina and Brian Doan of 24/7 Sports. What's going on, guys?
Doing well. I'm taking it that Don's the special occasion here that he's on.
There's multiple special occasions here. Brian, quickly, what is your title and what area do you cover for you for 24/7 Sports?
Yeah, national recruiting analyst, and I have Virginia up through New England, out through Pittsburgh and West Virginia.
Awesome. And that segues nicely into why we are presenting the special edition of the podcast presented to you by Giant T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com. Tony Grimes is a Tar Heel, committed to UNC on Tuesday, and this is why we're bringing this podcast right now. Tony Grimes, the number 7 player in the 2021 class, number 1 cornerback in the nation. Let me repeat that, the number 1 corner in the nation commits to the Tar Heels on Tuesday. It's a massive, massive get for the Tar Heels. He's the number 17 commitment and brings UNC's class ahead of Tennessee to number 3 in the nation, right behind Ohio State and Clemson. Let's go right into it. Don, what does this mean? Go first, you know, let's go into the recruitment of Tony Grimes, and then we'll get into what it means for UNC, who recruited him, the impact overall for the program. We'll dive right into it right now. Don, let's go into his recruitment and kind of the moment today of him committing to the Tar Heels.
So his actual recruitment with North Carolina began in earnest last July. I mean, UNC offered him well before that. But once he made it to campus last July for the Carolina barbecue, that kind of marked the moment that North Carolina became a player in this recruitment. He returned again in, I think it was October, sometime during the football season for a game. And then things got really interesting during the offseason when he started to name favorite schools lists and UNC continued to make each cut. Towards the end of that, the rumors started to kind of come out that UNC was a strong player in this. And then, really, I think the cat was kind of out of the bag a week before this announcement, where a lot of people started to kind of feel like, okay, North Carolina's the selection. And that's what happened on Tuesday.
Brian, your thoughts on recruitment. Of course, you have a more of a national perspective, a more regional perspective. What did you see from Tony Grimes' recruitment to the Tar Heels and kind of how the ebbs and flows of it, including other schools and how that went?
Yeah, this was a very different recruitment than a lot of the ones you see. A lot of times, you know, and Don knows this, we talk about it probably too much, but you'll see a kid who, okay, yeah, he's going to wind up at school X, and he'll go visit a bunch of schools and still wind up at school X. Well, with Tony Grimes, you know, he went to visit Texas A&M early in his recruitment, you know, during the spring of his sophomore year, loved it there, really connected well with the staff, and everybody had the thought, okay, this kid may actually leave Virginia Beach and go to Texas A&M. And A&M had some momentum for a while. And then he visits Georgia in January. And in talking to Tony's dad, Deion Glover, a lot, Georgia was always there, but he never got to campus and never really understood what Georgia was all about. All of a sudden, he makes a visit in January. And wait a minute now, he may wind up at Georgia. Now Texas A&M is playing from behind. And throughout this whole portion of his recruitment, North Carolina is hanging around. And Don mentioned, you know, the barbecue and everything. And I'm guessing they used the Carolina style barbecue, which I'm guessing Grimes liked because he wound up there. But anyway, you know, Dre Bly continues to chip away. And Georgia starts fading a little bit. And North Carolina really picks up momentum. And it's not because of the way Grimes fits in the defense. It has a little bit to do with the fact that it's close to home and his parents can go see him play. But the real big part of it is Dre Bly, who is from the 757. So there's an immediate trust there. I mean, he was a stud at North Carolina, played great in the NFL as a DB. So Tony Grimes is like, well, wait a minute. The dude balled at Carolina, balled in the NFL, plays in the secondary like I do, is from where I'm from. Boy, this makes a lot of sense. And that relationship just continued to build and build and build. And that's where we wind up today, you know, as far as it relates to Tony Grimes. And then, you know, we can also talk about what it means for the 757 and North Carolina's recruiting efforts there. You know, it's basically a 180 from where things were, if you remember back to the Jason Lewis days. And now all of a sudden, North Carolina, again, is really respected. They love him in the 757. And so I think not only is the recruitment and the commitment great for Grimes, it goes further in what it can mean for the area, because very few people, if any, are more connected to the recruiting scene in the 757 than Dion Glover.
Jason Lewis, what a blast from the past, that name. You have to be a pretty diehard recruiting follower to remember that name. But I wanted to emphasize one of the points Brian brought up is the fact that this recruitment really wasn't like your traditional where there was one team that you felt like, okay, that's going to be the school eventually. He's going to make all these other visits, but that's going to be the school. He, at one point, people thought he was going to Clemson. People thought he was going to Penn State. You mentioned Georgia. You mentioned Texas A&M. And it kind of seemed like for a while there being the leader was kind of kiss of death, because it was only a matter of time before something happened where that school just completely just fell out. But with North Carolina, it was survive in advance. And we'll get into more about Dre Bly, but that was the main reason why it was survive in advance for North Carolina.
Don, you're allowed to use the survive in advance thing with North Carolina?
I am, I guess so.
Of course, Tony Grimes, a 6 foot, 180 pound cornerback from Virginia Beach, Virginia, goes to Princess Anne High School. He commits to UNC, the number 7 overall player, number 1 cornerback in the nation. So with all these schools, I mean, how did the coronavirus and the COVID-19 impact this recruitment? Because obviously he didn't get to make as many visits in the spring or in the summer, so he was relying on past visits to make his decision. Don, can you go into that briefly, and then we'll add Brian's takes on that?
Yeah, I think it kind of simplified things for him, because he has been recruited since he was in the 8th grade. So he's made a gazillion visits. He visited most of the main schools. I mean, I know that there were some other visits he wanted to take, and there were some revisits he wanted to make and all that. But for the most part, he had all the information that he needed to make a decision. And if he would have taken more visits, I really think it would have just clouded his process. But the fact that he was able to kind of sit back, he took some breaks where he didn't talk to some recruiters for about a week or so, I think all that stuff sort of helped him a little bit, and he kind of realized there's not much more I can learn about all these schools.
And of course he picked UNC over Texas A&M, Georgia, and Ohio State were his finalists, right, Brian?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, and just to follow what Don said, with not being able to make visits, I think it changed his recruitment dramatically, especially from a timeline standpoint. If you remember, he was supposed to decide December 1st. He was set on December 1st, and the idea was make official visits. He was going to take them, make sure he got out to some games, and all of a sudden that can't happen, and guys are looking to really solidify their classes earlier. And I think one thing you really notice with recruiting, especially early on when the visit shutdown took place, but it still holds true as we move forward, maybe not as much, but it still does. Guys are going closer to home, and because that's what they're familiar with. And I know schools are using it, at least for the local kids, and I consider Grimes local because of the distance on this one, saying, hey, listen, if anything happens, look how quick your parents can get here. And really, you know, if you need anything, they're here. You're far enough away to where you get some distance. But, yeah, I think not making visits in the spring helped North Carolina, because Dre Bly showed his ability to recruit via Zoom, text, DM, whatever you want to call it, skywriting, whatever he used. And so, for me, I think it really helped North Carolina a ton, because – I kept hearing with Georgia, well, if he gets back to campus, that could be a really good thing for Georgia. And that's why it took me so long to move my crystal ball to North Carolina, despite hearing a lot of things. And then eventually when you say, okay, there's no visits that are going to take place, local and familiarity, that's a tough combination to beat for other schools.
I'm actually curious to get your take, Brian, on something. As you know, I talked to Dion Glover a lot during this. He was actually great, one of the better parents to deal with his accessibility and his insight and everything. But when I talked to him, he always kind of mentioned that he felt like other recruits would look more locally because of the coronavirus and what's going on. But every time I said to him, well, what about Tony? And of course he'd be, oh, no. Schools like Texas A&M are still involved. What was your experiences talking to, you know, Grimes or Glover as far as just the coronavirus and possibly playing closer just because of situations like that could arise?
You know, I think it had a small impact, just not being able to visit a lot of places. But I think the bigger impact was this. Obviously, Dion is really involved in Tony's life and wants to watch him play, coaches at Princess Anne, you know, works him out all the time. I mean, just a really active parent in a good way. I always found that with Dion. And so, and then, you know, with Tony's mom, what do you, all of a sudden you can go to North Carolina where you can drive every weekend to see him play. And it's kind of, you know, you can decide Saturday morning, oh, look, it's going to be really nice. We're going to go watch him. And you know, that 4 inches of rain isn't coming through, whatever have you. And you don't have to plan as much. Ohio State, long drive, or a flight. Texas A&M, a flight. Georgia, a bit longer of a drive. And I think all that stuff really started coming into the equation when it was time to make a decision. But at the end of the day, if Dre Bly isn't at North Carolina, neither is Tony Grimes.
We're going to get into that a lot here. I was doing some Google mapping here. And, you know, University of Virginia is closer than UNC to Princess Anne. And I think Blacksburg is probably a little farther. So, you know, Chapel Hill is kind of that, you know, it's just as close as Virginia Tech, but not some other schools. But that's kind of the geography of Virginia Beach to Chapel Hill is, I think, something not many people know about and how close it is to the Keene Stadium. We're going to take a quick break now and talk about Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. They are our loyal podcast subscribers here at IC. Make sure you go on Franklin Street and on JohnnyT-Shirt.com to get all your UNC apparel needs. You can use the 10% off discount code on the Inside Carolina premium message boards to get 10% off everything you need. Football games, basketball games are coming up. Make sure you head to JohnnyT-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com to get everything you need for Tar Heel fans and your family, friends. Just make it happen. Support them. That supports us, helps us provide all these great podcasts to you. Remember, wherever you listen to your podcast, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe to Inside Carolina Podcast. 5-star only. Tell us how great Don is, how great the other podcasts are, Coast to Coast, the Throwback, the Vipolis podcast, On the Beat, the Scoop. Rate, review, and subscribe, and support Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What if it was your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
All right, boys, we are back with Don Callahan, a.k.a. Donnie Scoops. He kept us in a loop on Tony Grimes. It seems like for almost 6 months now there was an update, whether it was on the podcast or in the scoop, about Tony Grimes. And, of course, Brian Doan, a analyst for 24/7 Sports in kind of the New Jersey, Virginia, Maryland area. Any recruits coming out of Delaware these days, Brian?
Actually, there's a quarterback there, Braden Davis, who is a 2022, really good, you know, really good prospect, 4-star kid. And there's a defensive end kind of edge rusher, Micah Wing, who's also a 2022. So surprisingly, yeah. And what people don't really know about Delaware is, you know, a lot of those kids wind up playing at one of the Maryland Catholic schools, you know, including a kid like Marshawn Lloyd, who's at South Carolina, who's a Delaware kid.
There you go. Who would have thought we would have got Delaware recruiting news on this podcast? All right, you're listening to The Scoop. This is the Tony Grimes pod. Okay, so we've talked about his recruitment and the ebbs and flows and the impact of, you know, the coronavirus and his dad and the role of Dre Bly. you know, why was it UNC? I mean, you mentioned Dre Bly, but is there anything else that stood out when it comes to the school, the staff, the momentum of UNC? Is there any takes on that? We'll start with Don, then go to Brian.
I really think Bly, as Brian alluded to earlier, was just such a huge impact. I mean, obviously the location, the proximity to his family played a role, but I think that they were willing to go a little bit further away. You know, I know that Jay Bateman's defense, Jay Bateman as a defensive coordinator and play caller, made a big impact on Grimes' dad, Deion Glover. Glover mentioned that a couple different times to me, particularly about the game against Clemson and just how well that the game plan was put together by Jay Bateman. And then, you know, there's been mentions of Mack Brown also, but really this came down to Glover being really impressed by Jay Bateman's defense and him as a coordinator, and just how Dre Bly recruited not only Tony, but also Tony's dad and Tony's mom.
Yeah, and obviously with Dre Bly, I watched that video. He mentioned Jay Bateman's defense and how impressed he was in year one without the necessary pieces, how they held Clemson to 21 points, almost won that game with how creative he was. And, you know, he's a very versatile and creative defensive coordinator that can use players in a lot of different ways. You saw Dre Bly working with Stephon Gilmore. He knows how to get to the league. He's obviously trying to groom players to get to the league, so that was a big impact as well. Brian, anything else to add on just why UNC, maybe more from a football perspective or momentum? Obviously going 7-6, but having a top five recruiting class on top of a number 19 recruiting class definitely helped the Tar Heels.
Yeah, we got to do better than that 19 podcast. Hopefully this helps.
That's right. Number one podcast.
But I look at it as, you know, that's what Mack Brown does. He knows how to recruit. And so 7-6, yeah, whatever. I mean, it's year two for him. So the record really shouldn't factor in that heavily, if at all. It's more about relationships. And you hear this in recruiting all the time. And when you're dealing with North Carolina landing a kid like Grimes, it goes to the relationships. And I talked to Tony probably too much for his liking in the last, you know, 18 months or whatever. But, you know, let's just put it this way. When I saw Tony early in the process, before Mack Brown was at North Carolina, I don't really remember him talking about North Carolina. And it wasn't until, and that was early in the process, but still, you would figure North Carolina would be on somebody of that talent level. This is a kid that was on the radar beginning during his freshman year. And so what changed? Well, Mack Brown's a great recruiter, hired a great staff and a staff that knows how to recruit. And I don't care what you say, Dre Bly, with playing the same position, being from the same area, and being a guy who connects with kids. And what I kept hearing is, we can talk all you want about fit in a defense, and we can sit here and debate and argue about who has the best defense, who develops them the most, all that stuff. Great. If you can play, you can play. But what always separated Dre Bly with North Carolina from everybody else was Dre would talk about things outside of football that wasn't always, here's what we're going to do with you in the defense. Here's how you're going to fit here. This is what we can do with coverages. It was about, hey, how are you today? What's it like, you know, having all this pressure, or what do you like to do outside of football? Which with Grimes, there's not a lot. He just lives and breathes it. But that's the stuff that matters. And Dre Bly was able to establish the best relationship outside of football, and that's why they got him.
I agree 100%. And I think that the difference between North Carolina and other schools was just Dre Bly knew exactly how to recruit Tony Grimes. He knew, because there is a fine line between harassment and showing love. And it's a difficult.
Don knows that. Don
I
knows
was gonna
that
say,
line
man.
Very well.
Oh, geez, Don. That's a. I that one should live forever.
I walked right into that one.
I hope the cops aren't listening.
Dre knew exactly how to walk that line with Tony Grimes, because obviously this is a kid who's being recruited nationwide, and even though he might have it narrowed down to a handful of schools, there were schools outside of that group who continued to recruit him. So he had to do that balancing act, and there were times where he definitely was burdened by it. But I think that Bly understood his mindset, Tony Grimes' mindset, on, you know, having the focus to get to the next level, to do everything on a daily basis to get the next level. And then he also knew how to speak to Grimes' parents because he's from that area. I mean, you know how it is. I mean, you talk differently to somebody who lives in the city as opposed to somebody who lives in the country. And there's certain family members, you know what you could talk to them about, what you can't talk to them about, what time you can call them. My grandfather, you can't call him during a Phillies game. My dad, do not call him during dinner. You know, Bly knew those little nuances when it came to Tony Grimes and his parents, knew what they wanted to talk about, what they valued, what was going on in their everyday life, because he lives, not only did he grow up in the area, most of his family still lives in the area. His mom lives in the area and she bikes daily. His sister is a high school teacher in that area. So he's so well connected. He knew what was going on and he was able to use that those things to help him recruit Tony Grimes to the best of his ability.
But there's two times you can't call Don. It's during dessert, which is three times a day, and it's during his nightly bubble bath.
Hey, do you think during that bubble bath, you know he has like one of those gritty stuffed animals that he's in there with?
Yeah, it's like a rubber ducky, rubber gritty. Yeah. All right, we got to move on. So you mentioned Mack Brown, Brian, and you're looking at UNC's class now with 17 commitments, number three in the nation. You know, I don't think they get Drake May without Mack Brown and the coaching staff and Phil Longo. I don't know if they're in the recruitments of in-state players like Keyshawn Silver and Ra-Ra Dilworth and Javari Ritzy, those elite, you know, top 200, top 100 type players without this resurgence with recruiting from Mack Brown. You know, maybe they get guys like Gabe Stevens or Power Eccles, who knows? But you go down the list of in-state players and certainly the flips of guys like Jared Wilson and Drake May, and you just don't think that the previous coaching staff would have been able to recruit this caliber player. Because, you know, Larry Fedora and that staff is recruiting kind of in the top 30 range, you know, around that 25-30 range. But UNC is now recruiting the top 10 range in terms of where they're going to end up. And that's due to the level that Mack Brown can recruit and what they have rolling with the momentum and stuff. So I think that's important to note. Okay, we're going to get to the analysis of Tony Grimes. As I said, he's 6 foot, 180. I've heard he's got massively long arms. So we'll go to Brian here first. Let's get your analysis on Grimes as a player, what he brings to the cornerback position, his, what mentality he brings on defense and all that good stuff. Then we'll go to Don.
Yeah, and I think, Russ, it's really important that you do mention his length, because we'll talk about 6 feet and that's big, but he's a lot longer than that, which is, you know, great for down the field. But so I've seen Tony, like I said, I started seeing him during his freshman year, and I've seen him through various points throughout, including I was at Future 50 at the turn of the year down in Florida, and then I was in Virginia Beach in early March right before the shutdown happened, and I was able to watch him compete there as well. First of all, technically he's really good, quick feet. I think what really stands out the most though is his desire to compete and get better, because he always wants to work and he'll always show up and try to put in effort. He can press you at the line of scrimmage. He's got great hips. They're really loose. He'll turn and run with you. He has the strength. He has ball skills. He'll come up and hit you in the running game. He can get off blocks. You know, he's not going to let the guy get to the edge. To me, he's a guy that you can just leave out on an island and roll the safety to the other side of the field and just let Grimes go one-on-one. And that doesn't mean he's going to win every rep, but you have that trust. He's already strong enough. And I think this is something that really gets underrated when you're talking about a kid of Grimes' quality as a player and as a person, is he is a really smart kid. And he works really hard, not only in his training, but in the classroom. And in the film room and everything. I mean, this is a kid that could graduate after 3 years of high school if he wanted to. You know, he's the plan right now is to enroll in January. There was some idea that maybe he would enroll in the fall, and talking to his dad, I don't think that's going to happen. But I think that tells you, A, he's really intelligent, B, he's disciplined, and C, his work ethic is off the charts. And so that's a really good starting point to where you then take the athleticism, the length, the ball skills, the instinct, and all that other stuff. And like I said, he's strong enough where he can now jam you at the line of scrimmage. He's not going to have to sit there in the weight room. And look, there's a reason why he's a five-star prospect. You don't have that many things to work on when you're a five-star prospect.
And let me add this. I got a little note here from a source. Probably scooped down on this one as usual. Tony Grimes' length of his wingspan It fits the measurables for an NFL offensive tackle.
Wow.
Yeah. 2 inches. And then, you know, you look at jump balls, makeup speed, and all that other stuff. There's so many things that it goes into that, yeah, I mean, I'm surprised at that, but also I'm not really that surprised because I know how long he is.
2 inches longer than most NFL DBs measure up in terms of wingspan. Don, your take on Tony Grimes as a player, football player, cornerback, see if you can kind of up Brian in that analysis.
Well, I won't be able to up Brian, but I do need to mention that not only do evaluators value length, but so does Ross Martin. So he's going to be one of your favorite UNC players, I assume. But Brian pretty much covered all of Tony Grimes. I just kind of just emphasize a couple of points that he brought up. You know, when I went down there to Virginia Beach to spend, you know, an afternoon watching one of the area practices, you know, Tony didn't participate in that practice. He had actually worked, but he came by midway through, and him and I kind of watched the practice together. And I mentioned this in the weekly scoop, but it was like standing there with a coach where he was basically kind of, I don't want to say picking apart, but he was pointing out little things that during each rep that the player who is going through the rep should do differently. He's, you know, Tony is just, as Brian mentioned, just so smart when it comes to the game with the fundamentals and what you're supposed to do. And he looks at it, the game, like a coach and what you're supposed to do. And I think that's so important, especially coming into or making the transition from high school to college. The other thing that I think is really important, and I think what separates the booms from the busts, are a lot of these guys, a lot of these 4-star, 5-star guys have tons of talent. And the reason why they don't live up to the expected potential is they don't have the work ethic. Once they get to college, they realize, man, this is difficult. And everybody that's on the roster is just as good as I am, just as talented. And in order to survive, you have to work hard. Well, Tony has that. I mean, you're talking about a kid who, as Brian mentioned, unbelievable in the classroom to the point where he had a lot of classes off, you know, or periods in the class, in the school day off, and which allowed him to do extra training, go to yoga class, work with a specialist on whatever it may be. And so this is a kid who really just kind of lives and breathes football, as Brian mentioned, and, you know, really kind of did it to the fullest of his ability.
Awesome. Awesome. Good stuff there on Tony Grimes commits to the Tar Heels. On Tuesday, becomes the number 17 commitment for this class and moves UNC number 3 in the rankings. Okay, so let's go to what this means for UNC. We mentioned some stuff with momentum and recruiting and stuff, but obviously UNC's recruiting at a super elite level right now. Helps they've had a loaded in-state crop of prospects. So what does this mean for UNC and this 2021 class? We'll start with Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you have to look at it beyond 2021. But for 2021, one thing that Grimes likes is, look, everybody has an ego. You know, even Don may have one. Who knows? But, you know, so he wants to be part of something special, and he wants to be a cornerstone. And I don't know. I don't listen to every Inside Carolina podcast, but I'm not sure how many.
I know.
I mean, I just have Ross email me the notes. But but one thing I do know is – I don't think you're doing a podcast devoted solely to a recruit very often when it comes to football.
No.
And so he is a guy who is from an area that produces kids, from an area that not only produce kids, but NFL kids, you know, kids that go play in the NFL. And he's a cornerstone guy of a class who he can now go out and say to people, hey, come join me. He can recruit, and he can recruit hard. And then, and you see that, and I know we'll probably talk about George Wilson, the defensive end from Virginia Beach, who all of a sudden North Carolina is in on and in really good shape with. But it's beyond 2021. Like I mentioned earlier, Dion Glover, the assistant at Princess Anne, Tony's dad, is really well connected. I'll call Dion and be like, hey, I need to find out something about this kid. Can you help me? And within about 3 or 4 seconds, he's got the information to help me. He knows everybody. He's well-respected down there. And, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to steer kids toward North Carolina because Dion wouldn't do that. But it just tells you that the connections that they have there, and it's going to help in some regard. So this is a beyond – I mean, look, it's great. He's going to do great at North Carolina. We know all that stuff. if we didn't think that, we wouldn't have him ranked so high. But I think it goes beyond that. And Tony's a kid that is really relaxed in speaking to people. And he's been through a lot, so he can share those stories with other recruits. I just think that the ancillary impact is huge also.
You know what that word means, Dom?
I'm going to get out my dictionary.
And that's exactly why I asked this question. I mean, you answered it perfectly, I thought. I mean, I think Sam Howell was the most important recruit. I mean, if you look back, it's going to be like Sam Howell got it going. And that really helped UNC in terms of momentum with that first season and then obviously the next couple of years of UNC football. But, you know, Tony Grimes might be that second guy, a five-star guy, a top recruit from a really, you know, fertile area that's close to UNC. And if he has success at UNC and goes on the NFL, you'll look back and you could see more five-stars commit, more four-stars, more elite players. And you can point to Tony Grimes being that one player who – you know, made it cool, made it okay to go to UNC and used it as a stepping stone to get to the NFL. And you can – obviously, you can land more elite recruits when you have players prove it in Chapel Hill. Don, your take on what this means for UNC, momentum, recruiting in the 2021 class.
I'm going to take a different direction because I think Brian did a really good job. We've talked about a little bit how, I guess, record-breaking this in-state group was for the 2021 class. And then we've also talked about how it's going to be a significant drop with the in-state group for the 22 class, which means that for next year, North Carolina is really going to, if they want to have a class anywhere in line with this current class, they're going to have to really do a good job out of state. And to land an out-of-state five-star, it kind of is a little bit of a preview of what's possible. I mean, obviously, North Carolina is still going to have to do a ton of work because landing one guy, one blue chip, as opposed to landing, I don't know how many they're going to have to land out of state next class, but it's going to be a lot, is another thing. But it just shows that the potential is there for North Carolina to compensate for the lack of in-state talent for the next class.
Yeah, and you know all about compensating, Don, so perfect wording there. Okay, so yeah, it's huge. I mean, this is big. We're recording a special podcast for Tony Grimes, and he's the number 7 player in the country, number 1 cornerback. Look at the notes here quickly. Okay, so depth chart for cornerbacks. I did a little research here since I'm, the beat guy here for the Tar Heels. You know, so UNC will graduate Patrice Rene after this season. So next year you're looking at senior cornerbacks, Trey Morrison, DeAndre Hollins, Bryce Watts, who played 2 years at Virginia Tech. His third year will be this upcoming 2020 season. So he'll be a senior in 2021. And then Trey Shaw. The juniors in 2021 will be Storm Duck, Kyler McMichael, the Clemson transfer, and Obi Agbuna will also be a junior in 2021. So that's kind of the depth chart. UNC actually will not enroll any freshman DBs this season because Jaden Chalmers is questionable on whether he becomes, you know, enrolls at UNC. So looking at that depth chart, Don, I mean, you got Trey Morrison, you know, obviously he's a stud, Bryce Watts, Kyler Michael, Storm Duck. That's kind of going to be who I think Tony Grimes is competing with. Where do you kind of see him fitting in? Because I don't see him sitting on the bench, you know?
I want to correct you for a second. You said DB, and I think you meant cornerback because North Carolina is bringing it in Jaquarius Connolly is coming in. He'll play safety. He's definitely not a cornerback.
Yeah, all those guys I listed are cornerbacks. Sorry, it's cornerback depth chart stuff. Thanks.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know, Storm Duck obviously played a lot last year, and there's some other guys who played a little bit. Injuries kind of makes this a little bit fuzzy to kind of look at, but I think it's going to be very difficult to keep Tony Grimes off the field. Mm-hmm. I think he's just too talented. He's too polished. I hate to say this, but I mean, he might be have as much football knowledge, as much sound technique, and as much, I guess, feel for the game as guys who have been on a college roster for a little bit, just because, you know, what we talked about earlier, with just how a student of the game he is and how much time he spends on his craft. So really, I just think it's going to be very difficult to keep him off the field. And I could definitely see him as a guy who plays a bunch early on and then just slowly becomes an every down guy.
Of course, yeah, and I did that more to kind of see, like, who would be the corners alongside him. You'll have Storm Duck alongside him, Trey Morrison, DeAndre Hollins, and you get into the younger players, you know, Kyler Michael, Bryce Watts, and Obi Aguna. So he'll fit right in there and I think quickly become the number one corner. Brian, since you don't cover UNC, I'm gonna skip you on that question. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into kind of close up the Tony Grimes portion of this podcast. And then we're going to talk about 2021 defensive end target George Wilson, who's from the Virginia Beach area, who both Don and Brian are definitely covering his recruitment. We'll be right back on The Scoop.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together, we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.
And we are back. Wow, that was quick. All right, this is Tony Grimes podcast, The Scoop, brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt and GiantT-Shirt.com. Of course, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us write a nice review, write a nice a rating, and subscribe. So you get these podcasts in your feed right when they publish. We're publishing 3 to 4 a week. And during the season, you know, even it could be 5 to 6 a week, depending on what happens.
Hey, Ross, right. I just got to say, Johnny T-Shirt just said, I know they're originally from New Jersey. They have to be, because that is definitely something you either hear in North Jersey or the Jersey Shore. Hey, I need something. Yo, go to Johnny T-Shirt.
Yeah, I have no idea. They've been around Chapel Hill forever. I mean, they're local. They're locally owned. When I was in school, they were there. So it's one of those very small, locally owned, like, boutique Carolina shop. You know, it's all Carolina blue and stuff. But, yeah, I get your vibes there.
It used to be the only – store on Franklin Street that would sell Inside Carolina's magazine, but obviously we no longer have a magazine. But yeah,
wow,
yeah, good stuff. And we really appreciate Don and Brian taking the time here for this podcast. We're gonna close out here. So, is there anything more on Tony Grimes? We talked a lot about Dre Bly already. I know we're gonna have we were thinking about having a special segment about Dre Bly, but I think we've mentioned him enough. I mean, this was his guy, and this was a huge recruitment for him because he hasn't been the lead, I think, on any commitment so far in 3 cycles. Now, he's helped out tons with different cornerback commitments. He's helped out with Charlotte area guys, but this was his guy, Tony Grimes, from his recruiting area, Virginia Beach. Don, is that correct? And kind of how I'm phrasing that and kind of perspective
on so,
that?
Obi Egbona, is that how you pronounce it?
I would say Egbuna, is that right?
Egbuna,
yeah. It's kind of your job. So.
Yeah, so, well, he's on the team now. I've passed him on to you.
Yeah.
So he was involved with that. He probably was a lead recruiter on that. Drake May, I would give Phil Longo the lead on that, but Drake May is a guy that that Bly was very actively involved with just because he's known Drake May for a very, very long time. Keyshawn Silver is technically in his area, but I think Bateman. So, yeah. So, I mean, to your point, I mean, I guess Josh Downs, but that's kind of a little unfair because that's his nephew. But, yes,
yeah, we know how this works. I mean, there's 3 or 4 coaches on each player, and then eventually the whole staff comes involved. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's a gray area.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think he was the lead, but I think it's important to mention that a lot of the Charlotte area guys he had prior relationships with their parents and everything. So he was instrumental in that. But, yeah, this was purely his guy. You know, it's unfortunate because I think he kind of learned, you know, Drake went the unconventional route when it came to becoming an assistant coach. He wasn't a GA and all that. So he didn't really kind of learn the ropes under somebody. He basically had to learn under fire. And so he learned some things last year. And Brian knows with Keandre Lambert, who ended up going to Penn State. I mean, some things that I think he might have done, you know, Draymond might have done differently if given a second chance. And you know, who knows, those lessons probably helped him with Tony Grimes. But yeah, so Tony Grimes is his guy, and what a guy to have for your first major recruit that you could say was your commitment.
Anything to add, Brian?
No.
Okay. Let's go right into George Wilson. Tony Grimes, I think we've said enough about this guy. I mean, a huge moment for UNC recruiting. And of course, this is the second highest ranked recruit for UNC since internet recruiting kind of started, right behind the notorious Marvin Austin. So Tony Grimes, a big pickup. And of course, Brian, you probably know Marvin Austin if you've been covering recruiting long enough, because he's from the Maryland area, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The DC area.
I was gonna say I'm too old, so let's not go there.
Well, plus okay. he played for the Giants, which is basically in your backyard.
It's a bit up the turnpike, but yes, it is my backyard.
Okay. There you go. Okay, George Wilson is one of the kind of, we're getting to the final crop of UNC targets in this 2020-2021 class. George Wilson, a 6'5" weak side defensive end, 214 pounds from Green Run High School in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Right now he's ranked the number 336 overall recruit in 24/7 Sports Composite, number 23 weak side defensive end, and number 9 player in Virginia. Brian, can you tell us what's going on right now with George Wilson's recruitment? I know he has a date set for his commitment announcement.
Yeah, just real quick background for those who don't know. George Wilson, he's a DN from Green Run in Virginia Beach. Did not play high school football his first 2 years, concentrated on basketball, even though he did play football, you know, up through the eighth grade, and was considered, you know, talking to his coach, was considered one of the really top prospects coming into high school, elected to go to the basketball route. You know, he had some success. I mean, he had an offer from Hampton, decided to get back on the football field, had a good junior season. Hopefully we see him on the field for a senior season. Long, athletic, really still learning, really raw. There, now we know who he is. North Carolina, Penn State, South Carolina, Arizona State are the finalists. He's announcing July 12th. I view this as a Penn State versus North Carolina battle. I kind of like where North Carolina sits right now. He released a top 7 in early May that did not include North Carolina, and for good reason, because the Tar Heels had not offered. They offer right after that. All of a sudden, he's paying close attention to North Carolina. You know, again, he knows Tony Grimes, who we almost had a Grimes-free segment. He knows Dion Glover really well connected there. And there's a lot that he really likes about North Carolina. But Penn State has him as one of the top prospects left on their board. They are not going to go down without a huge fight for him. I know he had a Zoom call with them late last week that went really well. But, yeah, it's a North Carolina-Penn State battle. He's announcing July 12th. A lot can happen between now and then. You know, we're dealing with 17, 18-year-old kids, so you figure it out. But I really like where North Carolina sits.
And, Don, correct me if I'm wrong, this kind of offer and focus came after Zaire Patterson committed to Clemson. Is that kind of what happened?
Yeah, so basically for the past couple of months, really, North Carolina has had two position objectives that have remained unfilled, and one is tight end. We've talked about it a bunch. They're still trying to figure that out. The other is that rush outside linebacker position, and yeah, Zaire Patterson was kind of pegged to be the guy for that, and he ended up going to Clemson. Right before that happened, just kind of as a, you know, just to be safe in case you don't land Patterson, they offered George Wilson, as Brian mentioned. It was actually a day after he came out with his top schools list. And I spoke to George, and he was like, well, you know, if I were to do the list over again today, North Carolina would definitely be on it. He actually made a visit last fall where it was kind of sort of implied at that time that North Carolina was going to offer him during that visit. They didn't. I remember talking to him a little bit before and after. And he seemed really interested in UNC. And really, since North Carolina's offered, the fact that they waited a little bit to offer doesn't seem to have hurt UNC. And really, it seems like it might have been a school that he really really is super interested in. And this is this is Dre Bly's opportunity to kind of keep his momentum going in the 757.
Yeah, and just to add on to what Don said, and a lot of people, and I'm glad because on the Inside Carolina board, I saw some comments after I wrote something about George Wilson. Just because they offered him right after his top seven, it's not like they're like, hey, let's go recruit this kid and offer. I mean, they had been recruiting him for a while, so the relationship was already there. So it's not – and they he understood why he wasn't offered yet and some of the things that they wanted to see. So it wasn't like some – oh boy, we're in trouble. We didn't get this kid. Let's go to George Wilson. They had been on him for a while before the offer.
Well, and a lot of this too is because we're in different times right now. Whereas I'm not reporting this. I'm just speculating right now. There were a lot of kids I know that UNC was like, all right, we're going to look at them in the spring or we're going to look at them during a summer camp. And if they check these boxes, we're going to offer them. It would not surprise me, especially for a kid who's only played one season of high school football, it wouldn't surprise me if UNC had some questions that they wanted answered before they offered. And then obviously you find out you're not going to have spring, you're not going to have the summer camp. So we have to make a decision on this guy without those things and just kind of roll the dice and say, okay, we really like this kid, so let's offer him without the benefit of the extra evaluation.
Yeah, and a lot of schools are doing that. I mean, pretty much every school. And what kids are doing, you know, and they're sending some workout videos to these coaches so maybe the coaches can see it.
Awesome. So George Wilson making a decision on July 12th. That's about 2 weeks away, a little bit less than 2 weeks away. Brian, no crystal ball pick for you. Let's get that going. What's happening?
Yeah, there? You know what? I'm really close to doing one. I'm just waiting for, you know, some information to come through. I'm not one that likes to move crystal ball picks around. So when I make one, I really like to stick with that school for the long haul. So we're very close to making one on it. And I did speak with Don about that recently.
There you go. And
he wants to get the blessing from the Don. I mean,
that's right. And hopefully when that crystal ball pick comes down, VIP ride up right on Inside Carolina. Find that there. Awesome stuff, guys. This was great. Hopefully our listeners got tons of information and intel and insight and stuff about Tony Grimes and some tidbits there on George Wilson, who's announcing here soon. Anything else here? Well, we got you here. Anything else, Don, Brian, we good?
I'm just going to say the one thing is it's really fun to see North Carolina recruiting really hard and being with so many elite kids. Don and I have known each other now for years, and there were times where we'd be like, well, I guess that's what they're doing, or, you know, I don't understand this, or, you know, maybe the charisma wasn't there with the old staff. So for me, it's fun. And I love the Inside Carolina board. I think it's one of the more fun boards out there to have some back and forth with. So for me, I'm excited and I hope they keep recruiting my region, to be honest.
Well, just to kind of piggyback on what Brian's saying, there were definitely some times a few years ago when I'm like, all right, North Carolina's about to offer this kid. Do you have any contact information? What can you tell me about him? And Brian was like, why is North Carolina offering this kid? I don't ask questions. I just report on what's going on. And
yeah, you know. That happened too often, Don, to be honest. And that's why you had a coaching change.
Yeah. Yeah. So
there you go. Awesome, guys. Yeah. All that scoop, all that message boards, all these VIP interviews and everything on Inside Carolina. You can subscribe to Inside Carolina. There's tons of deals. We're running a 60% off promotion right now, and it seems like every week there's a new promotion. So make sure you're subscribing to Inside Carolina and rate and review and subscribe to this podcast. This has been The Scoop. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Let's go! It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.